Joseph.
Yes. If you're going to die, don't do it here. Oh, that gets, this is worth a bear of a plug. I was going to show Brother Johnny. Somebody posted this thing. It was at a store like Walmart or something. And they had a whole row of accordions. And it was like three shelves, nothing but accordions. And it had a sign up said, limit four per family.
Really? Are you making
No.
Where is that at?
Yeah, how much?
I'm not sure what the actual store was.
You saw it online?
Yeah, somebody posted it.
Yeah, right.
It was a real picture. I mean, it was really in a store. I mean, it wasn't a fake.
That's funny.
Wow.
Johnny's just, he was accordion when accordion wasn't cool.
That's right.
Weird, I was doing the accordion, so it was cool.
Still wasn't cool when I was doing it. That's why, when something's cool means that everybody's doing it. So now that evidently everybody's starting to pick it up.
Really?
So it must be Johnny, because Weird Al did it for years and no one picked him up
Nobody
except
cared.
For Johnny.
Lauren Swamp did it for a whole long time too, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Still it didn't catch on. You know.
I used to like those polka shows.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania polka. I need to. We're going to Christianize that one. 261. Trust and obey. Let's get started with some singing.
Do his
208, are you wash in the blood? As Brother David said, there's no other way to be saved.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you
with me and talks with me.
Watching for your prayer requests, bbfohio@protonmail.com. You raise your hand and Janie will give you a card with a pencil so that you can put prayer requests down. After we turn off the live stream, we pray for privacy.
Good evening, onliners.
And we have our camera crew get things ready so we can... All right, whoops.
Be good, little live stream.
Here's your reminder. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians, and chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have them right there in the pew. We read together, and if you don't have a King James Bible, you can open the one in the pew next to what you've got. And read along with us.
Amen.
And we're in 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning through 6, after our current events update. And we ask you to hold your questions and comments to the end. Some of you have noticed. You raise your hand, I'll ignore you until we get to the end. And so,
question.
Our current events update. A word about the Trump indictment. I just want to say this before we go on. It's funny because on the one hand, some people are accusing him of just stoking the fire so he can make money. And that's possible. But it's also very possible that because he made such ruckus about it that they're now spooked. And so either way, it's a great strategy. I mean, give the guy credit. If he's making money and he's caught him, not to indict him and arrest him, you know what? There you go. But and some people are saying DeSantis should be more outspoken and that kind of thing. And I'm just going to say that's party politics that I'm not going to get into. You know, I just want to get the Satanists that we have in the White House out.
Yeah.
I don't care who you put in. I'm not going to campaign or stump for anybody. I just don't want a Satanist in the White House.
Amen.
And you know, we Obama. Who was it that Jackson? She was used to be on Saturday Night Live. She sang that song. There's a communist in the White House. What was her name?
Victoria Jackson.
Look that up sometime. She sang a song, there's a communist in the White House when Obama was in. But she needs to come out with a new edition. There's a Satanist in the White House.
Yeah.
Because that's who's in there now. Secondly, a warning that many conservatives are unbelievers and even occultic. And I've warned over the years, but there's been some crazy stuff going on. Now, what I'm about to show you happened about a year and a half ago, but... it's just to give, I just thought, I got this video clip, so I'll share it with you. But Bible believers are conservative. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. If you believe in killing babies, you're not a Bible believer.
Amen.
If you believe in gay marriage, you're not a Bible believer. Amen. If you believe in gun control, you're not a Bible believer.
Amen.
If you believe in Marxism in any way, shape, or form, Marxism is anti-Christ. It is anti-biblical.
Amen.
And that's what the liberals are. And for when I was a kid, I got saved. I'd go to Christian concerts, and they get up and say, it doesn't matter whether you're liberal or conservative. Well, it doesn't matter as far as getting saved, but once you're saved, you can't stay a liberal.
Amen.
You can't. And so Bible believers are conservative, but not all conservatives are Bible believers.
Amen.
See how that works? It's very important. I went to Christian Coalition meetings, and I ended up quitting it back in the late 90s because they didn't want us to try to get the Mormons saved that were there. I said, you're Christian Coalition. I mean, you know, we don't put aside anything. We don't put aside the gospel for any reason.
Amen.
Whether I'm at a Christian Coalition event or I'm at the football game down here. If I get the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus or give them a gospel tract, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
And the Christian Coalition told me I couldn't. So I quit.
Amen.
So not all conservatives are Bible believers. And we warn about being sheeple. Just because you're in a big meeting where you have shared beliefs with people, never stop thinking.
Amen.
Always giving credit where it's due. Bob Burney, listen, think, discern. LTD is what he always taught people. The Apostle Paul said that the Bereans were more noble because they tested him.
Amen.
Everything the Apostle Paul taught, they searched the scriptures to see if it was
Amen.
So. And so that isn't just for church. That's every time someone's speaking to you. You should use biblical discernment all the time. So watch as General Michael Flynn, who's a conservative spokesperson, he's invited to the big rallies and everything. And he leads a conservative rally in a satanic prayer. Nearly word for word with that of a Luciferian New Age priestess, a theosophist, easy for me to say,
that's
named Elizabeth Clare Prophet.
Those sevenfold rays and all your archangels, all of them.
And I am the instrument of those sevenfold rays and archangels, and I will not retreat. I will take my stand.
We will not retreat. We will stand our ground.
I will not fear to speak.
We will not fear to speak.
And I will be the instrument of God's will, whatever it is.
We will be the instrument of your will, whatever it is.
In the name of Archangel Michael and his legions, I am freeborn, and I shall remain freeborn.
In your name, and the name of your legions,
wow.
We are freeborn, and we shall remain freeborn.
Wow.
And I shall not be enslaved by any foe within or without.
And we shall not be enslaved by any foe within or without. So help me God. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you very much.
Wow.
General Flynn recited Theosophist Elizabeth Clare Prophet's channeled message from 1984 nearly verbatim. Elizabeth's full original speech can be found linked below. It begins by stating the following message is channeled from whom they believe is Archangel Michael, whom Michael Flynn was named after.
In the name of Sanat Kumara, Lord Gautama Buddha, Lord Maitreya and Jesus Christ, and Kusumi, beloved Archangel Michael, we summon you into action now, and by the authority of our Almighty, I am present in Christ, help we say. I am Michael.
That's Elizabeth in between her photos of Ascended Master Sananda Maitreya and Saint Germain. Shiva the Destroyer is at her feet. After a 45-minute chanting session to invoke an entity, this is how the channeled message began.
Hail, hosts of the Lord! I am Michael, Prince of the Archangels. I salute you.
So I know this firsthand. Before I got saved, I was on her mailing list. And I never went to any of the meetings. And as soon as I saw some of that weird, you know, I used to do that, making fun of people at auctions. You know. But once I got saved, then I obviously canceled my, I didn't have a subscription. They didn't give me money or anything, but I was on their mailing list. And they sent me some free DVDs, actually it was VHS. That's how long ago it was.
What?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But she's totally new age, and she believes she is a vessel that becomes possessed by spirit guides and speaks. That's why she's saying, "I am Michael." Well, she's something, but that ain't Michael speaking through her. And but you heard, I mean, how it was almost verbatim.
Yeah.
And when someone says, "God bless America," you don't know for sure they're talking about a capital G or a small G.
Yeah,
the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, small g. So Flynn used this prayer repeatedly in these rallies. And the conservative crowd just repeated it. Did you notice that? They're just repeating it like blind sheep.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm telling you, when you go to any of these meetings, don't check your brain in just because you think, oh, this is a conservative group. You shouldn't do that when you come to this building, let alone when you go to some other meeting somewhere.
Amen.
But the climate liars on the left are not to be outdone. That's our third current events update. Climate change causing cancer. Did you know that?
News Melbourne report claims that climate change may impact genes in the human body, leading to cancer and other illnesses.
Melbourne's wildly fluctuating weather could be putting Victorians at greater risk of cancer or other illnesses. A Monash University study has looked at the long-term impact of the city's famous four seasons in one day, with surprising results.
According to a new study, our wild weather could be taking a serious toll on our health.
Our study is the first to look at the temperature fluctuation and the gene expression, first in Australia and first in the world.
Researchers from Monash University collected blood samples from 479 people exposed to fluctuating temperatures each day for a week. They found significant changes to genes linked to diseases like breast and colorectal cancer, schizophrenia, depression, and bipolar. Researchers hope the breakthrough will lead to further action against climate change.
Let me just tell you, I love you enough to tell you the truth. If you follow science these days, you are insane. What they're calling science today is, the Greek word is hogwash. They're just making stuff up out of thin air.
I know.
It's just ridiculous. Now, you know, there's an old saying, statistics, and then there's lies.
There's three kinds of lies.
Yeah.
A little white lie, a big lie, and statistics.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. And you can do anything with this stuff. So lie upon lie, pushing us toward a new world order. Mark, I just want to remind you, I'm not going to call you to the end.
I thought you were
finished. A couple of you are like, why aren't you calling me? Or explain that. So lie upon lie upon lie, pushing us toward a what?
New World Order.
You heard that before? Who did you hear that from first?
If Bush.
A Republican named Bush. That's right.
1990.
That's right. 1990. Well, that was he's not an American. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Right.
But when I was 8 years old, this scared me. I remember sitting up at night. It's having trouble sleeping after I saw this.
8 times in the past million years, it has advanced and retreated with clockwork regularity. If we are unprepared for the next advance, the result could be hunger and death on a scale unprecedented in all of history. What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
1977.
1977, the worst winter in a century struck the United States. Arctic cold gripped the Midwest for weeks on end. Great blizzards paralyzed cities of the Northeast. One desperate night in Buffalo, 8 people froze to death in marooned cars. Pat Bushnell was on the road that night.
Traffic just absolutely stopped. I was afraid of being stuck in the car all night long with the cold and the wind, running out of gas, and then what? I think that if we had to go through a real bad winter, just like we just went through, I think we'd have to think about moving someplace else.
Now, let me tell you something. That happened. It happens almost every year in Buffalo. You know why people? You know why people freeze to death? I'm sorry, and there's probably some nice people, but it's because they are lazy and ignorant. Yes. They don't check the weather. The weather's saying, I mean, this last one, they were saying for 2-3 days ahead of time, we're going to get up to 3 feet of snow, and then it's going to tank, and the temperature's going to go down 20 below zero, and they didn't pay attention. And I told you about the one lady, her car broke down, and she didn't freeze to death. She died of carbon monoxide poisoning because the snow piled up behind her car and the exhaust got plugged. And so that exhaust came in her car and she breathed it and died. That's how she died. And people die because there's no self-awareness. And you live in Buffalo during the winter especially, you ought to check the weather. And if they're saying there's going to be a blizzard, maybe stay home, you know. Doesn't mean there's a new ice age coming. But then, fast forward to when Obama was president.
There's a 75% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap during some of the summer months could be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years.
You have sea ice, which is melting at a rate that the Arctic Ocean now increasingly is exposed. In 5 years, scientists predict we will have the first ice-free Arctic summer.
That was the year Obama became president, that they were saying 5 years and we're all going to die, basically. They were talking about how the oceans are going to rise, all the coastal cities will be flooded and all this. Now it's 14 years later, and this was in the news today. Earth, nearing point of no return. Greenhouse gas emissions must be cut. Report. It's just, you know what? I mean, it's going to get ugly here real soon, but it's called the Great Tribulation. The seals, the vials, and the trumpets. That's when we're going to see real global warming. But until then, this stuff, it's just to scare you, mostly so they can tax you. The big thing has been the carbon tax they've been trying to push through since before Al Gore was even president. They've been trying to, or vice president. He thought he was president, and he lost. But that's going way back. And they've been trying to, all they're trying to do is tax you, get more money.
Yeah.
The love of money is the root of all evil. United Nations has warned that global greenhouse gas emissions must be slashed quickly and drastically to avoid reaching an irreversible tipping point.
Go lead America.
Oh, I think we should just close in prayer and go home.
We're all going to die.
Emissions should be decreasing by now and will need to be cut by almost half by 2030. If warming is to be limited to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which no American knows what that means. We don't care. This comes months after the symbolic doomsday clock. How many of you saw that? Designed by scientists to supposedly, again, more science here, to measure how close the world is to an apocalypse, was set to the 90 seconds to midnight. This is the closest the clock has ever been set to midnight in the 76 years since its creation. That still means nothing. I'll tell you who knows when doomsday is? Jesus said only the Father does.
Yeah.
Science. I mean, it's just a joke now.
We're all a bunch of quackpots.
The UN is constantly putting out threats of impending doom like this that we just saw. And so Just all we're asking is for you to be realize the world you're living in. It is very similar to a TV show called The Twilight Zone.
Yes.
Be informed. Pray accordingly. Okay, a couple minutes for questions or comments. Brian.
For any Bible believers who are concerned about climate change, whether that be cooling or warming, I refer you to Genesis 8:22, which says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease."
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that settles it.
Yeah.
Mark?
Well, you were talking about that lady babbling on with that tongue speech or whatever you want to call it. It reminds me of a cigarette commercial I heard years ago when I was a kid. Lucky Strike. And at the end, you hear this guy, the auctioneer going, and the end goes, "Lucky fillers."
Is that about the 1940s?
68.
That's kidding. My dad was.
Years ago.
Yeah, Tim.
Is there a copy of that video?
Yeah, yeah.
Just send it to me somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a huge file, so it shouldn't be a problem sending it.
I'll give you my email address and Dropbox or something like that.
Sure thing. Johnny, you'll be my last one, then we'll get our Bible study.
So when we're listening to the woman there channeling somebody, quote-unquote, almost that one, the part where she's speaking in tongues or whatever it is, almost sounds like computer feedback or something.
I think it is like tongues, but I think they believe that they're speaking like in a
alien.
Yeah, alien language. I think it's like they believe it's aliens or something like that. And that's why it sounds like the Coneheads. You remember the Coneheads?
Yeah.
The family unit. I am Michael, and I am going to now jabber. That's what it sounded like. Yeah, nano. We're showing our age here tonight, ain't we? All right. Well, let's get into our Bible study, and that's how you discern these things. You study the Bible. We go verse by verse, and have topicals that relate to our Bible study, so that knowing the Word of God, you have that fresh in your mind, your heart, and you're able to deflect that shield of faith. You deflect the fiery darts of the enemy. So we'll get into the study with a word of prayer. And ask Brother Mark, if you would, open Bible study prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray that the teaching here tonight can be helpful to all of us. And I pray for Pastor Mel that his message will get us on fire to days, and they are rapidly approaching. Anyways, thank you for everybody getting here, and anybody that's still on their way, praying we get in here safely, and we can all get home safely. Anyways, thank you.
Amen. So let's do some Bible reading tonight. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Jessica?
Oh.
Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. Darren? Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Janie? Philippians 2, 3 to 6. Johnny? Romans 8, 27, 29. Jill? And I think this is the last one. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Brian? All right. I've got that turned off. I don't know why it keeps playing it. But 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10. And we'll have you read the even verses with me. So I'll begin in verse 6. Well, that's an even number, isn't it? So you all join in with me right there in verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Amen. So, as we've gone verse by verse through Thessalonians, and we took some time to look at the tempter in verse 5 in our previous study, we now witness true Christian love. Love is not a feeling.
Amen.
That's how people think of love. They just think it's something, oh, I feel. No, it's good to feel. But as we said, love is a verb. Love is something you do. You are active in love. And there's many, many ways you demonstrate that. In verse 6, he says, "But now when Timotheus," that's the same as Timothy, "came from you unto us," so Timothy had come from Thessalonica to the apostles, which I believe were in Ephesus at that time, "and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you." You would hope that if anybody is traveling from BBF to anywhere else and they run into some Christians and they say, "Oh, where you been? Oh, where you been going to church?" And they would say, "Yeah, I'm going to this church, Bible Believers Fellowship down in Worthington." Yeah, they're good, loving people. They believe the Bible and they teach the Bible. They sing the old hymns, the psalms and the spiritual songs. They love to eat. But I hope that one of the things that stands out is they love to study God's Word.
Amen.
And they're always telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
We're down to 100. We'll talk about it again in a little bit. We give out 500 Chick Tracks every month. And this month we're on our second run of 500. And I've told folks, I've been in churches with 200 or 300 people, and you couldn't get them to give out 2 or 3 packs of tracts in a month.
Yeah.
And it's an easy thing to do.
Right.
And they are provided free of charge. If you can't afford to put any money in the offering, don't worry about it. And take these tracts and give them out. But that's why, because that's what it's all about. That's what Timothy is telling Paul about the Thessalonican church as he's writing this epistle to the believers in Thessalonica. He's saying, "Yeah, I see these guys. They're really great." And so then Paul's excited to visit because he wants to meet these people. And we just kind of joke about, because we have the internet ministry, and we reach 70 different countries, all 50 states. And we have thousands of people every week that listen to these messages. Once in a while, we have one that from out of state. We even had that couple from, where was that? There was a couple from India. They came in, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And we've had them flying from, they had visits from different countries. Canada, of course. Years ago, we had some people come down from Canada. And I remember one time we had 3 people come from Pennsylvania. And we were still in the smaller building and everything. But I think it's funny because I try to warn them before they come when they get here. I'm just this short, bald, pudgy little guy. You know, I teach the Bible. So when they come in, I think they always expect me to be bigger, to be taller. They look down at me. A lot of times they're like, "That's you? Am I standing on something?" I'm a little 5'7" guy. I've met a bunch of preachers like that through the years. You know, you don't meet them, you listen to them for a long time, then you meet them in person, and you find them, they're little. Noah Hutchings, you remember him, Southwest Radio Church? Little guy. Dave Hunt wasn't a real big guy. You know, I met some of these guys through the years, and but one guy I remember listening to, Ken Graves, Calvary Chapel pastor up in Bangor, Maine, and somebody give me some of his CDs, and
I mean, he talks like this. I mean, that's what he sounds like when he's teaching.
So I kind of expecting him to be big, but man, I mean, the guy had arms like this. His wrist was as big as my bicep, you know. He just walked in. Of course, he had flannel shirt on and jeans. You know,
all right, you bunch of
You know, it's like, yes, sir. You know, but he really was a gentle guy. He's a, you know, a good Christian man. And that's what the great thing about meeting other Christians, you know, it's the spirit of fellowship between brethren. I've met many people. We have a couple here tonight. Y'all hopefully you feel right at home because you fit right in.
Amen.
Especially if you're a little crazy. If you're a little crazy, you fit right in. And that's the spirit of fellowship. Psalm 133:1. Remember that?
Yes.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
That doesn't just mean that we just get along to get along. It means that we believe in the same gospel. We have the same Jesus. We don't have to sit around and debate whether or not we believe he was the Son of God, born of a virgin, God manifest in the flesh, shed his blood, crucified, buried, risen again. If you got to debate that, then you don't have unity. That's what's wrong with Christianity today. A lot of churches don't believe that.
Yeah.
They don't believe it. And they preach a false gospel. Well, you're not going to have unity with those churches.
Amen.
But thankfully, there's still a lot of churches that do still preach the old gospel. So verse 7, he says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction. Go back and read the book of Acts of what Paul was going through. A lot of affliction and distress. But what was he comforted by? By your faith. He's talking to the church there in Thessalonica. He said, you know what? Hearing about you and hearing what you're doing for the Lord really encouraged me. I was going through a lot of struggle and a lot of distress. And I think everybody in this room probably can tell me that you've experienced that. But I've been kind of down. I've been throughout life, 30 years as a Christian, 33 years as a Christian, I think, 34, something like that. I'm losing track. But in all those years, there's been some down times, you know, where you kind of, and then you hear about so-and-so. Did you hear so-and-so got saved? No kidding. That's great. Oh, did you hear about the church down there, the home down near where you used to? You hear that church, what they're doing down there? People have been saved and baptized? You hear that kind of stuff? It's just great. That's why I think people are so into these movies that are coming out, like the Jesus Revolution and some of those, because it's about people getting saved. And sadly, some people haven't seen that in a while.
That's right.
And to be reminded of what that looks like. And have all these people being baptized out in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
It's just the other day, Jenny was it you or Charlie, shared the picture when we baptized Charlie out in Alum Creek.
Amen.
You know, and
that was great.
And we've got the videos out there so that anybody that's been baptized, if they meet somebody or maybe they just want to be a witness to somebody and say, hey, you want to see me being baptized? And then bring it up right on their phone and show people, this is me being baptized. Because it's such an encouragement. Anybody, I just wanted to ask you a couple minutes. It don't take a lot of time. Do you have any testimonies about that kind of thing? Any, Jessica?
Well, just want to say, at my other church, which I was there for several years, you know, it would be when people would come back, you know, who've been away for a while, or maybe missionaries,
mm-hmm.
you know, they come back and they say, it's encouraging that you're still doing the same thing and you're still meeting and preaching and reaching out.
We've had that happen at least a couple of times just this past year here. People that had been away for a while and they come and visit and that's exactly what they've said.
It's encouraging that we stay strong for the Lord.
Yeah. Jill?
When we were going up to Canada, Nova Scotia, the group would stop at this one Dollar Tree store every year, and one year we were up there and we were saying, boy, it would be nice to know if anybody had gotten saved in Nova Scotia, because we're handing out tracts everywhere. Walked into the Dollar Tree store, the lady heard Johnny saying from Columbus, she says, oh, I'm so glad you're back here, that pastor gave me, I gave it to my dad, and he got saved. He died. But he was making it right for his family.
You know, another thing that happens is, you know, I want to reach lost people. But you hand out those tracts, and a lot of time they just look at it like you just handed them a poisonous snake or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you turn around and you look back and you'll see them throw it away. And if I see that and I can get it, I'll go back and get it. But at least, hey, listen, don't get discouraged by that. I've told you, God saw that you gave him the gospel, and that's what we're about.
Amen.
We don't save anybody. We do the preaching. We're the messengers. But then, you know, once in a while, you'll see somebody turn right around and just can't put it down.
Yeah.
Or even when they'll say, oh, are you a Christian? Yeah, yeah, a Christian. I am too. Thank you. I'll find somebody to give this to. I don't know. There's just a charge in it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Paul's talking about here. All right, got one more? Yeah, Janie?
It's like my friend Sherry. She works at Kroger. She worked at the self-checkout. And the first time I met her, she was just really down. She was crying. She was very upset that her daughter is deciding to turn sodomite. And so I started giving her tracts. I was giving her John's tracts and once in here. And every time I go in there now, she comes up, gives me a hug. She said, you don't know how much those tracts have really helped me.
Yeah. And if you don't do that, then you don't get to experience that.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's the kind of thing I'm sure we could go on with more testimonies. But verse 8, he says this, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. What's he mean by that? I was kind of struggling with how to phrase that because I was just kind of thinking of how, you know, now you're living, you know, that kind of thing. But when you see somebody else standing fast in the Lord, you see him taking a stand. That's why, like Sunday, I showed the hockey player who stood. He didn't just stand against the pride stuff. He gave a clear testimony of his faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And called the Bible the main, most important authority in his life.
Yes.
I mean, there's no better testimony than that. That's just so encouraging. And that's what Paul was saying here. But Wesley put it this way. Indeed, we enjoy life, so great is our affection for you. So that's kind of the way, one way of explaining what we just read there. For now we live, meaning we see that this life in you, Christ in you, all that you're doing for his glory. And now it's like it's breathed new life into us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you realize you can do that for others. You may think, oh, I'm not making much of a difference. You know, I'm not seeing a bunch of people get saved. Join the club. But you can still be a great encouragement to other people who might be down in the dumps. And they see you just keep on going. And let me tell you, if you will, if you stick to it and don't let other things bring you down, and you serve, you work as unto the Lord, no matter what it is. What Jenny, you quoted the other day, anything you put your hands to?
Yeah. Oh. Now you're on the spot.
I put you on the spot.
Whatsoever thy hand.
Do it with all your might.
With all your might.
Unto the Lord and whether, not unto men.
Yeah.
Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all in the name of. That's 1 Corinthians. I'll look it up.
She was thinking about the grandbabies.
No, I wasn't.
Just kidding. But that's if you just keep your focus on serving the Lord and pleasing God, do what you're supposed to do. Do it faithfully with joy, and it'll be an encouragement to others around you. You going to look?
Well, there's a good one here in Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might.
That's what I was referring to.
For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest.
Yeah, that's right. And think about that. Once this life is over, opportunities to do these things are over. You're no more handing out tracts, no more preaching the gospel, no more even encouraging each other. You realize that in heaven, you're not going to have to encourage anybody. We're going to be at level 10 encouragement forever.
1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
All to the glory of God. Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:31.
And that's the other thing we don't have time to get into, but we'll mention because of what she said. If you're doing it for the wrong reason, wrong motive, you want a pat on the back, you want everybody to talk about how wonderful you are, give it up. That'll never satisfy you, and you'll end up being discouraged. But if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing for the glory of the Lord, you will not get discouraged. And the Spirit of God will encourage you along the way. Some of the best moments of my life, personally, have been in the course of Christian fellowship.
Amen.
Some of the, as a matter of fact, I've got to where I only go out into the world because I know I'm supposed to go out there and preach the gospel. Most of the time, that's the only reason I do it. So verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? So all of this joy is motivated by a desire to help believers grow.
Amen.
So just ask yourself, what am I doing to help others grow? What am I doing to be an encouragement to others? And if you're not really happy in your walk with the Lord, or you're just in a doldrums, maybe that's why. Because we're told right here, what we're reading, is that the source of joy is obviously begins with salvation, having the Spirit of God in you, but then it's being like Christ. And what's Christ all about? He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Yeah, Doug?
Yeah, we talk about Apostle Paul all the time and how far Apostle Paul went, but if he didn't have Barnabas,
yeah.
Yeah,
and Timothy and Luke and a bunch of others.
Always,
yeah.
John
Mark. Yeah. So when we are all motivated in the mindset that we're reading about, we are of one mind in Christ. You want to walk with the Lord, you want to be happy in your walk with the Lord, that's what it means to be in God's will. That is to be in the mind of Christ. Pretty much anything you do, if you ask yourself, what would God have me to do? That's what the whole what would Jesus do thing was supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And if you will have that mind that I'm going to do what God wants me to do, because even though sometimes I think I'm smarter than God, it always turns out to blow up in my face. So I'm going to keep doing what God wants me to do, and then let's see how this goes. And then I can tell you that's been the secret to my happiness in Christ. Who's got Philippians 2?
That's Jessica.
No, I have Ephesians. No, I have it.
Philippians 2, 1 and 2.
That's me.
Okay.
Okay, your list. Okay.
Listen close to this.
Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
So Paul here is really preaching to the Philippians to be what he's already said he's seen of the Thessalonians. And he refers to it as being the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So this is one way we exemplify the mind of Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to see that now. Philippians 2, who's got verses 3 through 6? That's Johnny.
It is.
We're going to pick up where she left off and read through verse 6. Johnny, come to her.
Can you hear for 2 seconds?
There we go. We use the microphone for the onliners, just so you're wondering. It's not because I think you're hard of hearing.
What?
3 through 6.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
And then from that point, we're not going to read through all that, but what did he do? It's when he emptied himself and he became like us so that he could serve. It's all about him serving. A servant's heart, a servant's mind, thinking about how you can help others. And as we follow God's word on this matter, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. I think sometimes people think that the image of Christ is like those pictures that we see of, you know, the Kenny Loggins or Eddie Rabbit. You know, those guys. It's this conformity to the image of Christ is about you having a servant's heart. That's the bottom line. Who's got Romans 8, 27 through 29? Who's that? Oh, Jill?
I guessed right.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
See, biblical predestination is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
If you're saved, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. It doesn't say you're predestined to be saved. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son because you're saved. Are you saved? Then get conforming. That's your predestined. All right, we love to hear that word. That's your destiny. You know, sounds like some Marvel comic or something. So that brings us to our close in 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Find my place here. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Praying that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That, I believe, and I'm not pointing at anybody or naming names because I'm not a mind reader, and I'm glad God has not given me that gift. I would not want to read anybody's mind in this room. That's scary.
Amen.
But just generally speaking, every time we have church meetings, this is a big problem right here. This is the big problem. Because most people don't go to church thinking that they're lacking anything, no matter what they say. They'll humbly say that, oh, yes, I know I'm not perfect. Yet many of those same people haven't learned anything new in years. Why? Because they think they already know everything. And if they ever hear anything that they don't already know, they're thrown off. Because, you know, a lot of times they're not even paying attention. But then when they are paying attention, they're like, wait a minute, I haven't heard that before. And I've actually had them shocked. Sometimes it's about things that every Christian should know. We had one lady one time just blown away when we talked about the fact the Bible refers to Jesus as God our Savior. Mm-hmm. And her church is just one of those emotional roller coaster churches where they don't learn anything. And so she came here and was just blown away. Well, I'm glad that we can teach people, but it's really sad. You know? It's a humbling fact. What I'm about to say is true of everybody in the room. All of us lack something in our faith. The question is, will you be humble enough to face that and to let God change it? I dealt with a young lady years ago, and she was just as opinionated, rebellious, mouthy as you could be. And she just said, that's just the way I am. And everybody's going to have to get used to it. Yeah.
Really?
And I said, You do realize that you sound like a Satanist right now. Hmm. What do you mean? I said, go look at it online. This was the, or no, I said the library. This was before the internet. Dating it. But I said, go look at the library. They have a satanic Bible down there. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's what you just said. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. We sing it all the time. Songs like Mold Me and Make Me. You know, that I Surrender All. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the great songs we sang through the years. And I've wondered how many people are sitting there singing those words. And they're saying the words, but they don't even think about what they're singing. They don't mean a word of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a gift that all of us have. Rote reading and singing. I've been reading a book before, and then I think, I read a whole page, and I have no idea what I just read. Haven't you done that?
Yes.
I think people do it all the time, singing. Especially if it's a song they're familiar with. And they just mouth the words and say the words. And then the book, I think people do that too often. They read it and they only notice the portions that they like and the only the portions they're familiar with. You know, that kind of thing. That's defeating the whole purpose. Yeah, Jenny?
Just thinking, my students, like there's a section for our students that talks about rereading. Like when you're reading something, like reread it to help you understand it. And usually at the end of that activity, there's a place where it asks questions. Mm-hmm. So when you're reading, you need to ask questions.
Yeah. Well, that's why I knew I had. I was like, what did I just read?
Right.
I had no idea.
So you kind of need to assume that you're lacking something, so you have a question and have a need to read it.
Yeah. As I said, this is what church is all about. If you didn't come here tonight with the attitude of understanding, you're not there yet.
Amen.
And it isn't about Pastor Greg. It's about the Bible. Amen. I have not arrived yet. Therefore, I'm going to listen to what's being taught. I'm going to test what's being taught by the Scripture. And if it's right, I'm going to conform to that. Scripture with Scripture. This is why God established the local church. Who's got Ephesians 4, 11 through 13? Darren?
Either me or
I do.
Okay, Jessica? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. This is the whole game plan for the Church of Jesus Christ that meets locally. This one's in Ephesus.
Ephesians 4:11 through 13, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints.
Wait, what? For what?
Perfecting
of the saints.
Read again.
For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
And that's just for a couple of weeks, or till you're to been a Christian for 3 or 4 years. What's the next verse say?
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
And of course, there's much more to be read. That's the gist of it right there. He gave local churches with pastors and teachers to then lead you so that you would grow for the perfecting of the saints. Not that you're ever going to actually get there, but perfecting is like the road you're supposed to be on. Until we're finally glorified and we'll be as he is.
Pastor, could I read the next
one? No. And then it says, for the work of the ministry. What does that mean? Wait a minute. The pastors and teachers are teaching you for the work of the ministry. You're not listening. You are supposed to be the ones who are being perfected for the work of the ministry. Everyone in this room has a ministry, and if you don't, you're backslidden. Ask God what it is. Some of you already know, and you've just been ignoring it. But you have a ministry, and whatever that is, get with it.
Amen.
That's why you're supposed to be here, is to prepare so you can go out those doors. And I sound like a Canadian. Go out those doors, and you can then have a ministry.
Amen.
And then the last thing, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Some of you need edified. Others should be edifying.
Amen.
We're constantly doing that. My wife tonight has a hitch in her hip. So what happens? The rest of the body has to pitch in a little more. And she's one flesh with me, so I have to pitch in a little. And then in this body, some of you need to help her clean up downstairs afterwards. Amen?
Amen.
That's how it works. And that's how, if everybody was always doing that, you saw somebody that had something wrong, and you pitch in. That's what it's all about. There should be no ego or pride, only selfless giving for His glory.
Amen.
And the last reading I think we have is Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Who's got that, Darren? Yeah, go ahead and read that.
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him and all things, which is the head of even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
The bottom line is that's how the whole body functions the way it's supposed to. And it's not supposed to be something of drudgery. You're not earning your salvation. It's nothing like that. It's all done out of love.
Amen.
The old Jewish proverb, blesses the man whose work is his play. Amen. If you love the Lord, you love each other, you love serving the Lord, you love serving each other, you're going to love it. That's how it works. So in closing, as we bless one another, and that just doesn't mean every time you sneeze, someone says, God bless you. This means actually blessing one another. Never forget that it all begins with God's blessing on and through His people, Israel. You ever think about that? Who's got, I lied, we have one more reading. Brian, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. We'll move quickly because we're getting close here on time. But Genesis 12, 1 through 3. This is where it all begins. All this blessing begins.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
So all that before that last phrase is about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jews. But that last phrase is ours. And in thee shall all families. All the Gentiles included.
Amen.
All families of the earth be blessed. Amen. That's where the blessing begins. Well, the book of Galatians explains it. Go over to Galatians 3, and this is our last reading. We're going to close with this. We'll let God have the last word. Galatians 3, verses 6 through 14. This is what that passage in Genesis means. Israel blessed the world in many ways, but the major blessing was they gave us the Messiah.
Amen.
And through the Messiah, all families of the earth have already been blessed. There's from every tribe, tongue, and nation in heaven already. And there's still going to be another worldwide gathering from that 144,000 during the Great Tribulation period. And it's just going to be an amazing thing to see. And it all started back there in Genesis. And here in chapter 3, beginning verse 6, we're going to read. Read from the even through 6 through 14. So join right in verse 6 with me. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through Israel comes the Messiah. The Messiah dies on the cross, shedding his blood, was buried and rose again, conquered sin and death. Then he ascends to heaven, sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in his people who are the church. And the church is the blessing to the world as we tell them that story. Amen. We preach that gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for all who hunger to learn your word, the many who are listening online, and all who were able to make it into the building tonight. And Lord, we just ask you, bless the rest of our evening, and everyone have a safe travel on the way home. But we do just love you so much and want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you for what Jesus did on the cross to save us, and then winning the victory over sin and death, conquering the grave, rising from the dead. And we look forward to, as I believe Mark said earlier, he's coming again. We look so forward to seeing you and pray you come quickly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's stand and we're going to close with a chorus. We'll have Jenny lead.
All right, this is the one I lead. The men can sing with me and the women echo. The men, if you want to echo, go right ahead. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord.
Three, one, two, three.
See you here, there, or in the air.